Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone in. We're fairly warm here this morning. We've had the heat on, the fireplace going, and got a couple of very special guests with me this morning. We're going to be talking a little bit about the Clay County school system. Of course, I know when Matt comes in, we have to watch each other because we wander off on things sometimes that may not interest anybody except me and him, but... But it's great to have you folks with me this morning. But we'd like to thank everyone that has tuned us in this morning. And as you do each Thursday morning here at WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And I know we will begin with letting everyone know that this is a sad day for us here at the radio station, that our owner, John Keaton, did succumb to cancer earlier this week. And I know there are some... I know Randy does this on the obituaries, but he's at the Yokely Tribble Funeral Home, and with the health conditions like they are now, of course, there's not really any way to memorialize and do things, but we want to especially remember John and his family and how he has become a member, a very important member of our community here in Salina and Clay County with his work with us through the radio station over these past years, and how he, many of us became his friend, and we really do mourn the passing of John. We know he had a very tough battle for the past few years. But with that, I know, actually, we've got a show this morning with the folks from over the Education Department, and we'd like to thank everyone that makes this show possible each Thursday morning here at 9 o'clock with a rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock if we don't have any basketball games or anything interfering, because I think maybe Kentucky has opened up their sports, and I think a lot of the folks up there are playing 4 and 5 nights a week trying to get things in. But be at 5 o'clock, okay. So we'll be at we'll be on at 5 o'clock this afternoon. So there is a basketball game up there, and that's something we're going to be talking about a little bit later about here in Clay County. And that is the situation of sports, which we know it's not a part of academics, but it's a very, very important part of our school system, and you know, a lot of the other things that go along with it. And I do know also that our chamber office has been closed for a few days for I guess quarantine, and a lot of you all may know Dr. Young had had some heart surgery, and he was, you know, being extra careful, he thought. But our young lady that was hired over there as an assistant tested positive one day, so they to err on the side of positivity, that's a good word now that everybody likes, that the office is closed for a few days. I think they haven't seen any problems yet, but, you know, it's kind of scary if you've just gone through a heart procedure to be around anywhere near anyone that has tested positive. But we will get on with the show here in a few minutes, and I know we're going to have a bunch of stuff to talk about, and we'll be right back.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness. With a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists, they serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
If you are sick with COVID-19 or think you might have it, take steps to help protect other people from getting sick. Stay home except to get medical care. Call the doctor before visiting. Separate yourself from others who live with you. Wear a mask to protect others. Cover your coughs and sneezes with a tissue and clean your hands right away. avoid sharing items with other people in your home. This includes things like towels and bedding. Be sure dishes are washed in hot water or the dishwasher before anyone else uses them. Stay aware of how you feel. If you start to have difficulty breathing, or if you are worried about your health, call your doctor. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
Welcome back, everyone. It's great to be here this morning. Like I said, it's nice and brisk outside this morning. The sun's shining, and it's going to get up, warm up to about 40-something degrees today. But it's a pleasure being here for today with our regular show. And we've got our birthday and anniversaries. It'll be coming up a little bit later on. And remind everyone that the number to call is, you have to use 931 anymore, 931-243-5574, and leave your message on the answering machine here. Make sure you speak slowly and clearly. And it doesn't hurt to speak their name twice, because sometimes when you start talking, you may get clipped off right at the very first of that. So it's great to start and finish with the name of someone that you'd like to celebrate their birthday. And with that, good morning, Matt. Good morning, Misty.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I don't know where we want to start. One thing maybe we could talk about right off that was some news that I saw yesterday, and that is a possible extension of the school year this year. Matt, have you received anything official on other than the legislature is considering something like that?
Well, that's what they're, of course, considering. We've heard several things. Some of it will be if parents want it to be extended, or their child are at risk, or they're anything like that. But that's just hearsay right now. He's supposed to decide, I think, on the 19th is when they're going to have their meeting. But we just heard the rumors. Coach Watson, just like you.
Okay, and then I know you just mentioned an important date there, and that is the 19th, and I think that'll be the day that they kind of decide maybe on the status of schools and what position the schools in Tennessee are in right now.
It will be, and that's going to also, I think, play a part in try to extend the school year or do some type of, we've heard different things, extending the school year somewhat, but more on a voluntary basis if students have had low academic scores, they might let them come in on a parent, you know, it's at a parent, what the parents decide they want to do. So we really don't know at this point. So that's what we're kind of waiting.
Okay, and that will be the point, too, where they decide for this kind of semi-lockdown that we're in now with, well, like we talked a minute ago about our athletics and school meetings and things like that, that I guess there will be a decision whether or not to extend that or to kind of go back to what it was like about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Now, from what we've been let on, he's going to let TAA or side with whatever they say. And, of course, right now they came out, and I'm sure everyone knows that you limit the attendance of ball games to the immediate household family, to the coaches, to the officials, and to any press or scouts that might be there, and that would be it. And, again, I think he may extend it. We've heard rumors. We don't know. I mean, it's coaches kind of on that wait and see right now is all we can do.
Okay, now along that line, Matt, I know that funding and things like that for schools is available, but you know that we all realize the importance of our athletic programs in all the high schools throughout the state of Tennessee, and we realize that right now they are a non-money making proposition right now, and I'm wondering if if there's been any thought to some help to the schools that to make sure that their athletic programs can continue to operate not only this year but the beginning of next year with without their normal funding sources.
Well, coaches, basketball has easily paid for its own self. Generally, it's going to have money, be able to buy uniforms as needed, and spend it on the kids. It's easy to do that. Well, with this, what we've gone from, let's say, a couple good games, you're clearing $1,500 a night, $2,000 a night. Right now, we're basically breaking even to pay the officials. That's about what it becomes. Or let's say you come out, you're somewhere around break even on any game right now. So, of course, you're going to get all the parents come for the most part, and the people I named are going to come. But, you're going to lose. Think how much you lose on concession stands. Think how much you lose on just the gate in general. Because we're always going to have good crowds around here in Upper Cumberland, especially right here in Salina. We're going to have good crowds, and we're missing all that. So you're talking, it's financially going to hurt them. Whether there'll be any funding, we may have to help them at a district level. But, I don't know that they'll give us any funding on that. But, we'll get a little bit of funding to help the school districts. I'll say that. They've already told about that, about some of the more sources we may get money coming in this next year.
And I also know the football season, we were kind of limited on our gates there. And, of course, you and I both know that with our football program that there is a great deal of expense from the time the season ends until the fall practice the next year with, like, reconditioning equipment, purchasing new equipment, equipment rule changes, all those things affect the amount of money that must be spent between seasons. And, we realize that source may be a little bit low also, but, I guess that's something that we're under the power of the governor and the state of Tennessee on things like that, aren't we?
We are, and, we were fortunate this year. Football team had a good year, and they had good gates, even though it was limited. We still had good gates, and they were able to put money back, and I think they'll be in good shape. And, basketball, I think they will be, too. They've got money in theirs, but I just hate what it does. If maybe we can help them if we need to or we get that funding, but it puts them behind if they don't have the gates they're used to.
And I do know, for our fans, I do know that sometimes it takes a little bit of searching, but I think most of our games so far, there have been a way to where you could watch them online. Right. I know through the National Federation of High Schools, some of the schools in our area subscribe to that. If they do, that is online. And I think maybe we have a YouTube channel, or maybe we're going to do some things for the games here at home. So, we all know it's not like being there where you can holler and yell and carry on, but it is a way to watch what's going on this year. And, we appreciate, the efforts that are being made by, I know with our coaching staff, especially this time of year, I know they have been very, very protective of their teams this year. I know they have, emphasized the warning of, being around strangers, watch where you're going. And so far we've been pretty lucky on that we haven't picked up any major problems this year with that. But with that, Matt, I'm going to take a little short break, come back, and we're going to talk about academics and things going on. I know we've had some things going on out there, like we tried to train some substitute teachers, and I think Misty had a staff meeting yesterday. She may want to report on that a little bit and find, you know, exactly what all is going on and talk about learning loss and things like that. We'll be back just in a few minutes. Matt, you got anything?
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information, 931-243-3139.
If you are sick with COVID-19 or think you might have it, take steps to help protect other people from getting sick. Stay home except to get medical care. Call the doctor before visiting. Separate yourself from others who live with you. Wear a mask to protect others. Cover your coughs and sneezes with a tissue and clean your hands right away. Avoid sharing items with other people in your home. This includes things like towels and bedding. Be sure dishes are washed in hot water or the dishwasher before anyone else uses them. Stay aware of how you feel. If you start to have difficulty breathing, or if you are worried about your health, call your doctor. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
Welcome back, everyone. We're back, and we appreciate everyone being with us this morning. And I guess, Misty, you want to talk a little bit about academics a little bit?
I will. I want to praise our teachers because they went above and beyond this school year to do whatever had to be done to meet the needs of all of their students, both at school and at home. So our teachers, staff, bus drivers, cafeteria workers, every single person in our district has went above and beyond to serve the needs of our families and our students. So I want to applaud them. Because that hasn't stopped. Just because the new year came doesn't mean that any of those needs went away.
Okay, now let me stop you right there, Misty. Let's talk a little bit about the services when we're not in session a little bit. I think, you know, this is maybe a good time to talk about those services.
So the week before we released for Christmas break, our students were all virtual for that week prior to Christmas. And so during that time, our bus drivers, cafeteria staff, teachers, and teacher's assistants, pretty much every employee in the building was doing meal preparation. They ran bus routes, delivering meals to our students. Even though the school doors were closed for sessions at school, learning was going on from teachers virtually through Google Meet, posting assignments to Google Classroom, as well as communications by phone and email. And so those needs of students don't stop just because, COVID has hit us with a pandemic. So in that, what they went above and beyond to meet the needs of those students. So serving meals, doing outreach calls, and our counselors as well kind of reach out to make sure that all those needs were met while we were out for Christmas for those 2 weeks from December back into January the 4th. And our district is fortunate enough to also have a grant through the Backpack Program. So that's another good food service that's available to our families in need. And to qualify for that, they just have to be a family in need. They can request it from the school. They get a package of supplemental food every Friday. And then we also have a program that's spearheaded by Mr. Rob Edwards, and that's our food pantry. And it's also sponsored by the Backpack Program. So the Second Harvest Food Bank supplies those resources for food. And those are more like family-sized portions. So our counselors at each school and our school nurses at each school are responsible for gathering the needs for that. And so that serves the needs of students both at school and at home. Based on that. So I think above all, even our local health department has served our teachers well because over the Christmas break, our local health department was able to make some communication right before January the 4th to make that vaccine available to all of our school staff, educators, teachers, bus drivers, cafeteria staff. And so that's been a gradual process there of getting the vaccine in and offering it and getting it to our teachers, staff, and bus drivers.
Okay, Misty, and there's something there, too, that that used to be quite common in schools, especially in all of our rural areas, and that was sometime normally during the school year, most teachers made a home visit to their students, and that's a whole lot of what happened during this distribution of food. And I do know from speaking to some of the teachers that there were some real eye openers when they saw the situations of some of our students. And I think just going out on that route opened a lot of eyes for a lot of our teachers that maybe. A lot of them that didn't live here in Clay County and didn't know folks. I think it served a purpose of familiarizing the families at home and the teachers with each other during this period of time.
I agree. When you drive through Solana or through Hermitage Springs or through Pea Ridge, you don't through Moss, you don't know the true value of what our community needs. And all the faces of it. So never take anything at face value. And I think it gives us a deeper understanding of where our families and where our students are coming from and how to best meet their needs.
Thank you for that. All right, now, what have you got next there for us?
Also, I wanted to say over Christmas, we received through the mail Governor Lee's Literacy Foundation book kits for our kindergarten, first, and second grade students. So every student in Clay County enrolled in kindergarten, first, and second grade received it was called the Fall Literacy Box. And so through Governor Lee's Literacy Foundation, they received this tremendous box of books. And I said I had to peek in a few just to see what they were going to get. But each box was addressed to each student, and they received probably 7 to 10 books, brand new books, that all revolved around literacy and on grade level reading skills. And they were a variety. Some books dealt with science, technology. Some books were about painting, music, art. And so putting those excellent texts in the hands of our students to take home and have as their own was a huge step in literacy for us as a county.
Okay. Have you done a follow-through on that and maybe did a little survey and asked the students, especially those from maybe junior high, middle school on up, how much pleasure reading they have done while they have been like in either a quarantine or sequestered at home or not going to school? I think that would be kind of interesting how many of them actually picked up a novel and read it.
Mm-hmm. A lot of our students have said that we didn't realize we had this much time, you know. So especially our virtual students have said that they have more time, or especially when they were on, if they're on a quarantine due to COVID exposure. I know that I spoke with Mr. G last week, and he said that their students were just thrilled to have their books and to have 10 books to take home and call their own. And teachers have some things to prompt them with some activities for the books that they know all their students have as a group. Along with that, a lot of our students have also signed up for a new program called Ready 4K. And that's geared toward our parents and toward our families, giving them some literacy activities to engage their students in reading skills. And a lot of those activities link back to the books that they were sent through the mail. So it's activities that parents can do at home with their students to encourage reading and have the interaction and that bond through discussing reading and having that as a common relationship and making reading a priority.
Okay, with that, let's take a little short break. We'll work in a few words from our sponsors, and I'll take this opportunity to read. We have four folks that are called in celebrating birthdays today, and beginning with Margie Boone. One of her friends called in to wish her happy birthday, which is on the 10th, and Mr. Joe Sims celebrated a birthday on the 13th. He turned, I believe, 65 on that day, so I guess we can say he's officially among the elderly now. I don't know how he feels about that, but I'd like to wish him a happy birthday. And also on the 13th, Mr. Michael Miller celebrated a birthday. And then one of our former students here, that I think maybe she may live over in Baxter, but we're still going to wish her a happy birthday and put her name in the drawing because she has all kinds of family here. And I think the birthday wish came from just about everyone in her family, and that is Miss Frieda Smith Garrett. I know she, I believe she still works over in the Putnam County system, but we'd like to wish all of these folks, and I do know she listens to us when she has the chance, but we'd like to wish a happy birthday to her. And I'd like to do a shout-out to all the folks that are out on the job working somewhere, traveling, or that listen to our show on the radio. And I do know that some of our folks with the Twin Lakes guys, that they do tune us in when they're out on the highway. We really appreciate that. And we appreciate everyone that listens to us because we realize that this is one of the ways that we can, bring some news from the county, like our school system. And I know last week we had Dr. Young and Mayor Reagan on that kind of filled us in on some of the things that been going on here in the county. And hopefully next week or the next one we'll get the city mayor in to let her kind of upgrade us on everything that's going on here in the city of Salina. But with that, we'll take a little short break, and we'll be back just in a minute.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
If you are sick with COVID-19 or think you might have it, take steps to help protect other people from getting sick. Stay home except to get medical care. Call the doctor before visiting. Separate yourself from others who live with you. Wear a mask to protect others. Cover your coughs and sneezes with a tissue and clean your hands right away. Avoid sharing items with other people in your home. This includes things like towels and bedding. Be sure dishes are washed in hot water or the dishwasher before anyone else uses them. Stay aware of how you feel. If you start to have difficulty breathing, or if you are worried about your health, call your doctor. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why making Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or O blood, these letters can mean life. But there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives. That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
Welcome back, everyone. We're back here live and in living color again. I don't know where we're going to start now. Misty, excuse me.
Some celebrations that we have in our school. Our attendance has been considerably well, considering everything else that's going on right now. Our absences are still about half of a percent, so just 1% of our total student population. Same thing with our quarantines. We're averaging about 0.06%, so less than 1% of our students are quarantined due to COVID reasons. We did have an increase between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and those were the reasons when we saw that increase. We went all virtual and closed the school buildings the week before Christmas. And I think we've seen some improvements since we came back to school. Reduced cases, reduced quarantines, and our janitors and our assistants, our teachers, are still doing all of the cleaning procedures to try to keep our schools a safe and healthy place. Even our bus drivers are cleaning daily between routes, and so those things haven't stopped. So we're continuing all those safe practices to try to have a good school year. I think that we're fortunate in our area because compared to other districts who've had to close or be virtual for spans of time, we've had, for the majority, we began the school year on time, and with the exception of Christmas, we stayed in school. So I think our parents, our teachers, our faculty, staff, bus drivers, cafeteria, because it takes us all working together to accomplish those goals each and every day.
You know, I think that's kind of like the whole thing about our grandma told us, you know, don't touch the stove. Because I think, you know, once the message got across, and I think our Clay County residents be really congratulated for the thing, especially through New Year's and things like that, because I know we had a slight increase in daily cases, but I think we have leveled back down to a very low each day. And, you know, like Grandma said, usually when I've got to see what, you know, the little mind says, and you found out, hey, that burnt. I think we kind of decided, you know, hey, this is like a hot stove. You don't touch it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get close to it. And I think that's just good old hillbilly common sense.
That's right.
Don't touch a hot stove, or don't lick a cold well handle. Don't stick your tongue on the well handle in the wintertime.
Another good addition to our school has been some photo murals. So between Veterans Day and Christmas, we had some visitors to our school from the community, and they were two veterans that made some presentations because we couldn't do a public celebration that we would normally do for Veterans Day within each of our three schools. We had a presentation to individual classes on patriotism, the American spirit, and the history of the American flag. And so along with that, Mr. Richard Buford donated photo murals from our community. So they are photographs picturing different scenes and landscapes from Clay County. And I think they really capture a true community spirit with those. And so those have been put on display in the hallways and in some of the rooms at each of the three schools. So if you have a chance, ask your students about those photo murals. There are several different diverse ones. One of these in your own courthouse that we're sitting in right now. So a great historic picture there. Some are black and white, and some are in full color. Some depict our lake. Some depict the farm community and farm life. So it was a great addition to our schools to have those large murals. And so Mr. Richard Buford, the son of Edward and Betty Buford, donated those murals to our school. So that was a great addition, I think.
I think at this time, now he is an officer now in the American Legion, and
he is.
In this region, and I know he's very, very interested in the American Legion, and I do think maybe that they're trying to do some reorganization here because I know their membership was getting low, and I think they had a meeting. I don't know if it was the virtual meeting or what, where they're trying to get some things reorganized and stuff, but now I do know that he worked very, very hard. Well, he worked very, very hard for this community, even though he's not living here right now, but he continually, you know, posts things, pictures, and he's always reminding us of the great service that our American veterans have offered to this country, which is something sometimes some generations, you know, kind of, since they haven't been involved in a lot of things, they've kind of forgotten things like that.
It is.
He's not going to let us if he can help it.
It's easy to focus on the negative or the problems in the world right now, but if we go back to some simple things that can bring us great pride, I think the veterans are one of those things. And in response to that, our students at all three schools, at Hermit Springs School, at Solana K School, and Clay County High School, created cards, letters, and messages for those veterans that are at the Veterans Hospital right now, and also at some of those veterans that are in need, just based on financial reasons or homelessness. So Mr. Buford is going to take those letters, cards, messages, and artwork to those veterans, and he said they provide such an uplifting message, knowing that somebody still remembers, somebody still appreciates, and somebody still has respect for that, so their commitment and service. I read a few of those samples, especially from our high schoolers, and I know the principal, Ms. Tia Arms, would agree with me that the heartfelt messages and the pride that they had and the inspiration that they have been, even one student commented that it was because of their service and meeting some different people that led by their example, she now wants to join the armed services as well in one of the armed forces. So to me, that's a great component of your community that you don't want to lose or forget.
You know, and sometimes, you know, we've gone through celebrations of 50-year anniversaries of things, 75 remembrances of things, and, you know, me personally, and I'm sure both of you guys too, that we really don't think about our citizens here and our citizens throughout this country that have served in wars over the past 20 years, like the Operation Desert Storm and things like that. We have numbers of veterans. And, you know, it's something that I guess that we haven't thought a lot about, of those veterans, because sometimes I'm very surprised when I run across an article or something about one of my former students, and one of the things that are down there that, you know, that they served in Desert Storm. I know over in Overton County, Mr. Brandon Cross over there, I didn't realize, you know, I'd known him since he played basketball down here in Hermby Springs, and didn't realize that he was a veteran, had served in one of the foreign wars. And there are so many of those around. And, you know, I think they're, I don't know how we let people know, because, you know, these folks, you know, they don't come back looking for publicity. You know, that they try to, you know, want to come back and just, you know, restart their lives and carry on. But, you know, we're going to need ways to celebrate them again once we can celebrate. And hopefully, you know, a lot of these things are building up here in this county and other counties, that when we are able to get together and celebrate, that we're going to celebrate the positive things that have taken place during this time of all of the negative things that are going on.
Sometimes you don't realize what you miss until you can't do it anymore.
Absolutely.
A lot of those young men that we've had, or women that we've had, you know, they're in military for life, whether they're in it for one, you know, term of 4 years or eight. Their military is a part of them forever. And, you know, I've seen a few students I've had and didn't even know they were in the military, Tom. So I'm like you, and I thank them. I try to thank them all. And I've got actually a son-in-law that's in the military right now. So, you know, and we and I hate to say we don't really take them for granted, but we don't think about it enough, maybe. I'm like you.
Well, I'm sure you're kind of like me, too. And I know a number of my classmates, you know, served in the Vietnam War. And, you know, with the ending of that and everything, you know, there wasn't the celebrations and things that I didn't realize that some of my classmates had served in the Vietnam War that did and were now at the age where, you know, they were, I guess the veterans we're talking about there, that some of them may have become, you know, ignored or maybe homeless. But, you know, it's something as a society we're going to have to take a long, hard look at, isn't it?
It is. My father, of course, he served two terms in the Korean War, joined at 17, had to have his mother sign for him, and he served two terms. And, you know, he didn't talk a lot about it, but, you know, he was proud he's in the military, and it's a part of his life, the rest of his life, you know.
Okay, now back to academics again. We're going to take a little short break, come back, and I know we may want to talk about some test scores, about the learning loss thing and all of that. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
If you are sick with COVID-19 or think you might have it, take steps to help protect other people from getting sick. Stay home except to get medical care. Call the doctor before visiting. Separate yourself from others who live with you. Wear a mask to protect others. Cover your coughs and sneezes with a tissue and clean your hands right away. Avoid sharing items with other people in your home. This includes things like towels and bedding. Be sure dishes are washed in hot water or the dishwasher before anyone else uses them. Stay aware of how you feel. If you start to have difficulty breathing, or if you are worried about your health, call your doctor. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed. And you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
You may not realize how important three letters can be. For a patient who needs type A, B, or these letters can mean life, but there simply aren't enough people giving blood. Without more donors, hospitals may not have the blood needed to save lives.
That's why the American Red Cross needs people to help restore the A's, B's, and O's that are depleting each day. You are the missing type patients need. Visit redcrossblood.org/missing types or call 1-800-RED-CROSS to make your donation appointment today.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
Welcome back, everyone. Misty, I know, I guess with, as far in academics, you know, the term we hear all the time is learning loss. And, you know, sometimes you wonder if how much of this learning loss is something that's not correctable, or if it's, you know, if there's something that can be, have we done some assessments this year to look at, I'm sure we have, on the level our students are at here in Clay County?
Yes, the first assessment that we took district-wide district-wide at our elementary schools was called a MAP benchmark assessment, M-A-P. And what that MAP assessment does is it measures their progress and their abilities at that point compared to where they should be. So if they're testing above grade level, below grade level, it tries to give you a picture of them at the time. So that assessment we normally take three times a year, and we've done that again this year. We do it in August, in December, and we'll do it again before the close of the year. So that's a three times a year benchmark assessment. And we definitely had some gaps there, some lower than expectations. But then we've also had some gains in, you know, by December. So staying in school, getting back on track, I think it's going to be a process. I know that we closed quickly due to the situation in March. But at the same time, we're not going to be able to recover that quickly. You know, it was a day or two's notice, and we had to make preparations to send students home and close our school buildings. But that recovery process in every area of life doesn't happen that quickly.
Let me ask you a question there. Do you think that this year will skew the line there a little bit, where some of those things may drop down a little bit because this is nationwide?
A lot of them are even saying just the stress and the distraction of what's going on right now, because we've never had to worry. I mean, we've always had small threats of a stomach virus or the flu or strep throat, but nothing of this nature has hit our population like this, and our school population. So that's why I say I think it's across the board. There's different distractors, whether you're learning at home, learning at school, or if you went into a homeschool environment. I think this is a school year that's not been like any other, and so I don't know how we're going to predict, you know, how we're going to end that year. I know that we're working as hard as we can to catch up and to meet the students where they are and give them the help that they need. And so along with that, we also had a benchmark assessment at the high school at the beginning of the year to do the same thing that the MAP did. So that was something new for the high school. They'd never had that before. As a start of year, where are you checkpoint? And that was for ELA and math. Also, our teachers in grades 3 through 12 administered what was called a start of year checkpoint. And that was a test that we took before October for ELA and math. It was an online test, and it was to measure where we were entering the school year. And so, for example, if you were a sixth grade student in math, that test covered the fifth grade math standards. And so they tested the previous year's standards. Because of that learning loss from March, to May, and then of course May to August. And so looking at that, that helped teachers to see the gaps by skills that coming into the school year, this is what we were lacking, this is what we were missing, this is a foundational skill that might need to be reviewed or reinforced before we can move on. So now we're coming into that middle of the year assessment where it's not a start of year, it's a during year. And so our next phase that the state has opened up for us, and this is from the Tennessee Department of Education through a platform called SchoolNet, is a during year checkpoint for ELA and math in grades 3 through 12. And so in those grades, we're looking at where the students are during the year. So if you're a sixth grade math student, we're going to give that assessment based on sixth grade math standards. So now that we've had some months in, how much have we recovered and how much have we grown toward where we should be in ELA and math?
Okay, so you know we're looking at these things, and you know this pandemic thing, it's kind of shifted a little bit of the responsibility for education, hasn't it?
It has.
It shifted from I say 90% instructors to kind of more of a little bit of a balance from especially high school students of self-reliance. That, you know, hey, you are responsible sometimes for going out and finding things instead of a teacher handing it to you, which I think may be, you know, it may have a positive long-term effect on especially our older students.
I think so, and I think it's just the unpredictability of the time, right? Because we thought in having, you know, sessions at school and having class at school that was the preparation for colleges and technical schools. But now we don't know what the face of higher education looks like. So some classes may be online, some classes may be in person. I think everybody's in that planning stage of where do we go from here, not knowing what's around the corner. So I think it's also been a strong point to do things virtually, self-paced, and more independent for older students, and I'm going to say grades 5 and up, because they have gained technology skills along with our teachers. I think this year has proven that you're never too old to learn something new. And so it's pushed us to get some new skills and to look at things in a new way and change our process for how we do things. Some may agree that it's a bad thing, but our students are more technologically advanced than they've ever been, I think, right now, and our teachers are pushing themselves to that, too.
You know, along that line, I know Mr. Robbie, I know that, of course, he's the technology person with the schools, and I know that there's a point in time where I can remember the time, you know, when something went wrong, you'd call Mr. Robbie and say, hey, I need this done, or I need you to connect this, need you to do this, and it's the point now where, hey, I got to do this myself, a lot of it, and because just the sheer numbers that all the classrooms and things like the Zoom meetings, all of those type things, and I think our teachers have learned to do this now, and this is probably, once again, a positive step to some the education methods that are going to be coming down the pike here in the future now based on what's happened to us this year.
Correct. I think that some college courses, some higher education courses will be online. And now that our students have some of those skills and feel confident in completing those courses online and having more independence in that, they will think that that's an option for them if the need becomes available. Along with that, we've had two new courses. That is the high school that I told you a little bit about in August. And I want to say that they're just thriving. And so those are dual enrollment courses partnered up with the Tennessee College of Applied Technology, that's TCAT in Livingston. And through that grant, our students were able to enroll in that welding class and that computer information technology class. And our numbers have been just supremely wonderful for that and giving them that opportunity to gain some higher education credit and seek certification in those areas and be more workplace ready. And if anything else, even students that had not planned on pursuing that as a career are now considering it as a second option. Well, I can do this and this. And that just gives them more employability skills And I think that's never a bad thing.
Okay. How is our welding project coming along?
It's doing great. They have their own site there at the classroom. We had some hurdles to get through with the electrical work and the booth. I think that they're getting to do some hands-on experiences. So I think that's went really well once everything was able to come together structurally. Along with that, the technology, when the everybody has experienced the gaps of not being able to get certain items or products or shipping delays, so that was a hurdle for them as well. So when things finally came together for the big picture, the technology items came in, the welding items came in, the classrooms were able to be set up, and I'm going to tell you that the teachers and the students were just sports about it all. They went from not having chairs or tables to having a whole classroom set up, and so they were tickled with either one. So being able to adapt and go with the flow and hang in there thinking that things were going to get better paid off in the end, because now we have those computer stations set up for the technology class, the welding booths for the welding class, and their enrollment has increased. We probably thought that we were going to have maybe 10 students, and we have well over that, almost double. So for that opportunity in our community, that's huge.
And I know along that line, Mr. Robbie, I know the one of the stories was that he didn't have anything at all to work with right to begin with, and one of the first things he did, I think they said the students walked in and there was a pile of parts in front of them, and he said, build yourself a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, they built themselves a computer.
They did.
And I
think the students found skills they didn't know they ever had. And at the same time, some had never picked up a screwdriver. And so just knowing that, I mean, that's a skill that goes into anything.
And I've got a feeling that probably any welding student now can tell you what phase three electricity is.
Yes, they can. They most definitely can.
I think that was a big holdup, wasn't it?
And I think on the flip side, one project that the computer class had this week, the computer technology class had this week, was going along with a setup classroom. It was disassembled. And kind of what you said about the humble of parts, they had a perfectly working classroom disassembled, and they were not given any indication of what the problems might be or how to correct those problems. And within the hour, they had everything reassembled and working again. So that's huge, because they took the initiative to step forth, help each other, and pretty much start from scratch, not knowing even what the problems were. And they repaired it all and got it all in good working order before the hour was up. That's a huge success.
I think a lot of those guys looked down and said, hey, I didn't know these hands could do this.
That's right. I've even heard some parents say, especially before Christmas, now they want a computer for Christmas, and they're telling me what to buy instead of me deciding what to buy for them, because they have their own input into it. So I think in the workplace today, having computer and technology skills is never a bad thing, no matter what your job title is going to be.
And, I think we're all looking forward to what we're going to call our new normal when we get it. But I think we're going to carry some very, very important lessons, like we said, off self-reliance, and also relying on the people around you more, and to take more responsibility for who you are and what you are and what you're going to be than we have in the past. I think it has been a sobering effect on the entire society, and I think our county here, through the efforts of the school system and all the other officials and things here in Clay County, has done a tremendous job in this county, but also advancing this county at the same time. And I do fully believe and know that our school system is a very, very important part of this, Misty.
I do, and I think that just with the virtual instruction that's happening at home, our parents and grandparents have gained a bigger picture of what the teacher actually does, and some of those pictures have been, I don't think I can do this anymore. And so the role of the teacher and of the school system, I think, it has been brought more to the forefront with students learning from home and what goes into a school day. I think that greater appreciation has increased support for teachers, and hopefully that will continue, because we do want the best for every student. And we want everybody and all of our partners in the community, not just parents, grandparents, but community members, business leaders. It takes us all to get that goal.
Guess what, Misty? Our hour is just about up.
Oh, my.
I think it looks like official time. It says it's like 8:59. So it's time, I guess, that we announce our birthday winner today, and that is Margie Boone. Margie has won the birthday cake. Now, I'm not sure when the chamber office is going to be open again, where you can go by there and pick up your Dairy Queen card and get your delicious ice cream cake. But you have won today, and we'll take care of that just as soon as we can. But with that, you know, it's been a pleasure being here this morning. It's
Thank
been
you
great
so much.
Having our school folks with us this morning, our director of schools, and our supervisor of instruction. And as you can tell, they're both working hard each day to keep our school systems up and going, and very, very concerned about the welfare of our students here in this county. But with that, I guess it's time we do shut the doors here at the old courthouse. We've got most everything put back in place, and we'll see you again next Thursday morning at 9 o'clock here on WVFB-FM 101.5. And until then, may the good Lord bless and keep you. And with that, good day, Clay County.